was written that I would love you from the moment I opened my eyes. And the morning when I first saw you gave me life under calico skies. I will hold you for as long as you like. I'll hold you for the rest of my life.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 146 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. You all know what we're all about. We're a Paul McCartney talk show, but you already know that. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, where we talk all solo Beatles all the time. Myself, Ken Michaels, Kid O'Toole, and Joe, me, Mr. Mayo. That's on Monday nights, every other Monday nights on Facebook, and you can also find us on YouTube as well. As always, I'm here with my partner in crime, a backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, buddy?
I'm good, man. We are ready to take the official Two Legs dive into the lyrics book. You cheated, you little bastard, by going on Talk More Talk first, but I still love you anyway.
Yeah, you know, it just so happened the timing was as that came first, you know.
Oh, I understand, but yeah, the book that we both pre-ordered well over a year ago is now in our hands, and we've gotten through most of it, and we are ready to take a look at it.
Yeah, and here is the copy that we're going to be giving away here. We're going to review it first, and then I've got all the names right here in the little, in my little cup here.
19 people entered, Tom?
28.
Oh, wow, when you texted me the other day, you were like 19. I went up to 28, wow.
28 people entered the contest, so excited about that. And
Totally random, by the way. You just had to send us an email, yeah. Send an email, your favorite song, and that was it.
Yeah, and
if you picked like Band on the Run as your favorite song, we're not going to not pick you. It's just not how.
Right? No, I'm not even going to announce that stuff. I'm not even going to announce what. I just wanted them to let us know what their favorite song was. We're gonna pick the name out here after our review. Hopefully, it'll be a name I can pronounce because you know there was some last names in there that
put it up there and just hold it up and let it do it that way.
Great idea.
If you can't say it, just hold up and say, you won.
Congratulations.
Collect your prize here.
Yes, but here it is. It's still sealed. Didn't open it or anything like that. This is the copy of the McCartney, the lyrics, and I'm really excited to pick the winner and send this off. All 9.5 pounds of
it is a heavy
of this sucker. But before we get to that, we got a few things we want to talk about. One, I want to thank our good buddy, Matthew Street, who's got a great channel out there. He's all Beatles and solo Beatles stuff, so you definitely want to check out his channel. He does other music as well. He's a big fan of power pop genre. I think he just did an ABBA review of the new album. Of the new album, yeah. So you want to check that out. So that's Matthew Street. I want to thank him very much for doing a video recently where he got the inspiration from our show on Return to Pepperland or Pizza and Fairy Tales. Right.
Same material, different bootleg. And he and a lot of his viewers I looked at the comments, were not aware of that album and they checked it out. So sometimes when you're as into this as we are, we assume everybody else is too. They're just not, because everybody has their varying levels of taste and how far they're going to make that McCartney dive. So Matt, thank you for the awesome plug and the kind words. And You're always so gracious and kind to us whenever you plug us. So thank you very, very much on behalf of Tom as well.
Yes. So hopefully we can get you on back on the show again soon, probably sometime after the new year. So thank you again, Matthew Street. I also want to thank Joe Mayo, because he let me promote the contest on his live, a couple of his live streams. So thank you. Thank you, Joe, as well. So also a few new pickups. We got a few things. Obviously,
go, brother.
Okay, well, I mean, since I got the most of the stuff here. But,
I only got two things, but you got the most. Yeah. You got 45s, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to show the LPs and
the steel. Right, yeah.
And I text you about this the other day. I hadn't got this. This is Shout.
Norma Phillips, 1981. Yep, that's Paul called him. Norma Phillips, because he didn't like the book at all.
Right, the Beatles in their generation. So, curious about that one. I showed a couple. Was it last week or I forgot when? Now I did show the sealed. Give him regards to Broad Street with the hype sticker on there.
Two weeks ago.
And so that kind of has got the ball rolling on a few things here too. So I found the sealed
11 brand new songs, right? Is that what it says?
Oh, no, 11 McCartney 11, classics. Yeah, 11 McCartney classics.
Classics.
Including Say Say Say, The Man, and So Bad. And then it does give you the track listing.
So they're calling Tug of Peace a McCartney classic. Look at that. Yes, they are. 1983. Wow.
Wow. Yes, they are, buddy. Yes, they are. And then here's the one for Tug of War as well.
Sealed too, Tom, or
this
no?
This is sealed. Yeah, both are sealed. Featuring nice. Everything Irie, Take It Away, and What's That You're Doing, and Ballroom Dancing. So who knows if that meant that they were gonna issue those at singles as well. But
maybe at some point. But yeah, love the hype stickers.
Yeah, now. You know. So, we'll see. I'll keep playing around with those and, see how that goes, see how that treats me. But when you were here, we were talking about box sets and we were talking about some of the first ones I've ever bought. I mean, and this is actually the first box set I ever bought in 1989. And that's
Rod Stewart Storyteller. 4CD
so,
classic.
Yeah, 4C, yeah. So, you know, like I said, I had this back in 89. I got rid of it probably at some point in the mid-90s or something like that for whatever reason. Maybe I took it to get store credit to buy something else. You know what I mean? But I saw this for $14.99. It's called the Changing Hand. I don't even know what the hell it's called. It's called Half Price Books, it's called.
Was that near the pizza joint?
No, that was near Target.
Oh, Target. I bought something there.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to have this again. Actually, I'm going to put this in the CD player and jam great out collection. To some of those late 70, early 80
great collection.
80 Rod Stewart. Yeah, because I have a lot of the early 70 stuff on CD.
Right. Young Turks. How good is Young Turks?
Oh, Young Turks is awesome.
Young Turks is great.
A Passion, Tonight I'm Yours. Some guys have All the Luck, Infatuation.
Some guys have All the Luck. Great song.
Yes. Yes.
Great
yes.
song. Which actually is a cover, actually.
Right. He does Downtown Train. So these featured like three new tracks. And we were talking about how in the 80s X started redoing some of their stuff. And in this one he does Reason to Believe, I believe.
All-time favorite Rod Stewart song. Go.
Oh.
One song.
One song if I had to pick one. Track called True Blue.
What album?
What album was that?
It sounds like a late mid-70s.
Yeah, no, it's 72.
Gasoline Alley?
Yeah, it was a rocker, and now I'm drawing a blank of what album it was on. So got a bunch of Rod Stewart fans out there swearing at me. But the track's called True Blue from 1972. Check it out. One of my favorites from Rod. you know, they're, you know, You're In My Heart, I've always loved the first cut. His cover of First Cut is the deepest. Awesome. I've always been a, you know, always been a fan of, you know, so I gotta be honest with you though. I never really cared for his version of Get Back or Pinball Wizard.
No.
You know, so
yeah. All time favorite Rod song for me would be Handbags and Glad Rags.
That's a great track. Yeah.
From the first album. I love that. And even the unplugged version that he did was great. Yeah. Love that one.
I do love his Country Comforts. Yeah. I do like his Cut Across Shorty. I do like his Handbags and Glad Rags. Yeah. His stuff with the Jeff Beck group too is great. I mean, those
and he vocals. Also has a great version of Maybe I'm Amazed too.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was with the band.
Right. That was with the Faces, yeah.
Faces, thank you. Yeah. Which he only does the chorus on that.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so, you know, a lot of fun, you know, more things to do that I don't have time for.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah. So, okay, it's this book.
I got a couple things too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Duh. What did you get, Andy?
This is Two Legs, but also the Tom Show Off Show. I swear, that's what it is right after time. It really is. There is a guy here too who buys records. I saw Rick Wakeman a few weeks ago, and he has a brand new album out called The Red Planet. And it's Rick's first kind of prog album in probably over 20 years. Rick's done a lot of classical stuff lately, but this is a full band album, and it's really good. And I saw him about 2 weeks ago here in New Jersey, and he was just hysterical because he played and did jokes. So just check this one out, The Red Planet and the English Rock Ensemble. Rick at his very best. Rick, who, if you didn't know, plays the intro on Morning Has Broken by Cat Stevens. Did you know that?
Ah, yes. I love that. Love. That's the best part of the song, you know.
That's Rick. So he tells a funny joke and how he wasn't compensated about it either. He's still very butthurt about that.
He's a little bitter still.
He is. And Tom, my co-host there, has spurned me into like getting colored vinyl. I guess a year ago with McCartney 3 craziness, right. The colored vinyl is.
And the Genesis stuff too. Did you get those?
Yes, the Genesis ones with Tom God, the Duke on white vinyl.
Right.
Trick of the tail.
I think that was yellow
vinyl.
Maybe. Yeah.
So, you know, again, and it's a scarce. So continuing my Focal Harem dive, I got 1971's Broken Barricades and an album I didn't even know at all, but I checked it out. Gray.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Which is nice. I mean, I wasn't really Tom. I have to give credit to Tom. He kind of got me into the gray vinyl, into the colored vinyl thing. I wasn't really into it too much, but it is, they are really nice. They're so well done. The McCartney 3 stuff, all the stuff from Third Man. And this is a nice one here too. And, but again, like this is not new. This was from 2015, and even something that was 7 years. This was hard to find.
That reminds me of the Pipes of Peace gray vinyl.
Yeah, same kind of different shades. I mean, it's amazing what they do with the vinyl these days. But even something is hard. This pressing is from 2015 on a label which is so cool called Let Them Eat Vinyl. I don't even know what. So I don't even know what exists, but small label. But the colored vinyl. Those are my few pickups. But on and on we go. Excellent. Into. The lyrics,
and there you go. You're picking it up so easily, the whole 9.5 pounds
because,
of that.
Because it ain't in here. because it ain't in here. Yeah, I can pick it up, man. I got it. This is what I should have done with it. Yeah, I got it.
But like you said, we've known about this book for a while now. We've been waiting for it. Here it is in this wonderful... Not green.
You don't like the green? I don't have no problem with it. It gets burned. I'm in that Christmas mode now. I'll start playing Wonderful Christmas Time and everything will be hunky dory.
Okay, fine. Fair enough with the Christmas thing. That's great. I do love the side here with McCartney's profile there.
That was a great choice.
You know, yeah. You know, and then you got the A to K, L to Z on the side there. It's really cool. Like that.
I know we must have sounded like a bunch of bumbling idiots on the unboxing. Right. Whenever we get the unboxing and we go live, we just sound like a bunch of schoolgirls on Christmas Day opening up our presents.
Right.
I know somebody in the comments was like, Jesus, you two, calm down.
And that wasn't the first time either. I don't think we've ever gotten anything like that. Just so you know, if you do get your copy at Barnes & Noble's, you are supposed to get a tote bag. So
with the Calico lyrics, right?
Yeah, there's that. And then on the other reverse side, it's got the lyrics to Calico Sky.
No, but watching you all on Talk More Talk last week, you were saying that Barnes & Noble's weren't just kind of, you had to ask for those bags, right?
They have them there. I guess, you know, sometimes employees don't really realize that they're supposed to be given them out.
Well, because half the employees don't even know who Paul McCartney is. Let's face facts.
Yeah, well, you know, that's funny, too, because when I went to Zia to pick up the George Harrison All Things Must Pass 2-disc set, there was a lithograph that they were supposed to give out, and I had to tell them about that too, you know.
So they don't even know.
Who's telling these people? I mean, who's managing the store over there?
Like Barnes & Noble, you go like online, oh, you'll get this for free, and then you go there and you see Susie at the register and she's like, right. What?
She's got no clue.
No shot.
No, anyways, but yeah, check that out. If you haven't got it yet, go to Barnes & Noble. You will pay a little bit more than you will on Amazon. I'll tell you that right now. But if you want the tote bag,
Go get the one cool thing that I like this right off the top is that I love how initially this book was going for $100 and then a year ago, and then on street day, release day comes and we got it for $60 just about.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, this is like a Beatles anthology book level quality work. I mean, and you're getting 800 some odd pages in two books for $60.
And that's the great thing about Amazon too, is because let's say you pre-order the day you start pre-ordering it, if the price goes down, then you're locked in for that better price.
Right, they're gonna match it.
They're gonna honor it. You're exactly right. So if you pre-order for $100 and 3 weeks later they have it on, you know, they lowered the price to $60 for 2 hours, you're locked in for that price. So that's why I kind of prefer getting from Amazon, you know, even though I know Bezos doesn't need any more money, but
no.
But anyways, what do you think of the box itself? I mean, binder, like whatever you want to call it.
I like it. I love that it's just plain. It's Paul McCartney, the lyrics. Right. You know, a single quote on the back here just talking about, you know, where he's at. You know, just, you know, the act of writing a song is a unique experience unlike anything else I know. And this is, if you want to know what Paul McCartney is, and I just will say this off the top, it's like, he's never going to give you a 300-page autobiography. He's not going to do that. Okay, so the man is going to be known for his music. And his legacy that he's leaving us in this awesome box is his songs. 154 songs that were chosen to be analyzed and discussed. Do you and I wish there were more Wings and solo songs in here? Sure. Sure we do.
Absolutely.
And did we go right to the solo songs as soon as we opened the book?
Absolutely.
No, we did. Now, I made a good dent in this, having this book about a week now. Tom just read all the solo stuff, and I'm trying to read everything from, you know, start to finish. So I got up to the M's, which is in the middle of the second volume. But I mean, just in terms of the casing, I think our friends in the UK did better.
Yes.
They went with Mike McCartney's cover of Chaos. And that's why I also bought that. It's not here yet, but
So you did pick that up too.
I did. And that should be here in about a week.
All right.
And that was only 80. That was only 80 with the price difference and shipping.
That's great. I wish they did choose like a different album cover. I mean, if they weren't going to do that, then do a different album cover here in the States, you know, Venus and Mars or something like that, or Ram. I don't care. Just do a different album cover. Just don't give us plain green.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with the green, but an album cover would have been nice. I mean, I guess that Chaos one and that iconic photo that Mike took in the backyard is such a, you know, signifier for what Paul looking back on his life, the album, and who he is. And I guess that's why it works well as a cover. I mean, what are you going to throw a Band on the Run on here? Or, I mean, you're not going to put a Beatles cover on here. So what do you put on it? I mean, you're not going to put Wings at the Speed of Sound. I mean, you and I would like that. I mean, I understand why in the US they went with something very much more muted and simple like this. And I'm okay. I'm okay. But I would have loved an album cover too, like you, but you know, it's fine. I can't believe it's two books. You know, they just did the two volumes, you know.
Right. It's amazing though too. I mean, when you look at the sleeve, the jacket, the yep. dust jacket, there's lyrics on it. When you take the dust jacket off, there's another set of lyrics.
There's another set of lyrics. So like lyrics A through K right. cover has Hey Jude, right?
Right.
You've got Hey Jude, but then you open the cut, you open, you take the flap off,
right?
And now you've got Average Person.
Right. Exactly.
Average which person. Tom and I both love.
Right. I will tell you one thing I'm really disappointed about this, though, before we get more into it, is, yeah. you know, the warping issue.
Now, you asked me the other day about that. Is my book right. warping? And I said, no, it's not.
Right. I mean,
maybe it is. Yeah, maybe it's a little. Is it a little right. bit? I don't know. Yeah, I guess slightly. But not like that.
Yeah. See.
Now, what is that, A through K or the other one?
No, this is A through K.
Yeah, I mean. Mm. A little bit, but nothing crazy.
But other than that, it's put together nicely. I mean,
the man got a new font created for the book. They came up with a right. new font for the text. Now you know, you only do that if you're McCartney, and I forget what they.
No, you called. Only do you only get that if you're McCartney. Absolutely.
I forget Absolutely. What it was called Litho font was the font they came up with. But,
right.
And I think that, and that's the other thing too. And I was being somebody who was a researcher and you know did a lot of research and wrote. You know, academically on the Beatles and stuff like that while I was in England. I loved the fact that they did go out of their way to explain the writing style. I'm just going back, just going into the index here with the beginning yeah. of the book. The note to the reader. The MP, they kind of tell everybody when the book was started, but actually like why, how they chose to kind of use the metadata and how they went with UK versus US. And they kind of just went, they wanted to go with the UK release first. I like that they went out of their way to talk about that stuff, you know, in terms of how it was all written and done. And I like here too, to produce a complete list of all the various releases around the world. Seems like a truly, I don't even know what that word is. Sisyphean, I don't even know what that is. Endeavor. It would require a new volume and did not feel appropriate in a book that focuses on Paul's lyrics. So I like how they went out of their way to do that and explain everything about that. Little and it's in the beginning.
Right. Well, let's go over some of the what were some of the tracks that you were surprised to see here in the book?
Shoot. I mean, again, our minds go right to solo work always, right? So
yeah.
I think seeing stuff like I'm Carrying jumped out at me, Cafe on the Left Bank, Average Person, Dress Me Up as a Robber. I was like, whoa, okay. Well, like those, not the, you know, so those, you know, stuff like that. Again, obviously, Golden Earth Girl. You know, we're finally seeing lyrics chosen that we're not really sure. Pretty Little Head.
Yeah.
Which I think you mentioned the other night on Talk More Talk. Yeah. What about you?
She's Given Up Talking was a total shock. I mean, never would expect anything like She's Given Up Talking on here. You know, stuff like. You Tell Me was kind of surprising. You know,
how about San Ferian?
San Ferian, another one was a shocking one. You know, Picasso's Last Words, but you know what? Picasso's Last Words has a famous story.
It does.
You know, with the Dustin Hoffman.
He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that really isn't too surprising. Nothing Too Much Just Out of Sight was kind of a.
Hey,
surprising.
I didn't even realize this till this moment, looking right at the book, because I'm not up to the S's yet. Look what gets a nod in here. Single Pigeon from my all-time favorites is in here. Wow.
It is.
Didn't even realize that till now.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the fact there's a lot of songs from this later period. You know, Kiss of Venus gets some love. Pretty Boys get some love. Despite repeated warnings, absolutely. You know, some stuff from Egypt Station, you know, like you said, gets some love.
I don't know.
Confidant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of
Latter Day McCartney. Yeah. On My Way to Work, Only Mama Knows, Too Much Rain. You know, so yeah. So there's a lot of love for the later day stuff as well, which Jenny Wren, which I was really happy with as well. So there's that. Any songs you were wishing that was on there that you didn't see?
I'm just trying to think. I mean, yeah, there's always gonna be a couple. You could say, oh, I wish, you know, you know, I wish there was some more tracks from London Town on there. And of course the ones right. I like, or some more from Ram, you know, the albums that you tend to like the most, you'd like to see a little more from. But I really have no complaints about the song choices here. I think the Beatles songs are obviously going to be the Beatles ones that are in here, and they're going to get there. But I mean, to have actually officially a book published from Paul McCartney, where we're actually hearing him talk about Waterfalls, Warm and Beautiful, Venus and Mars, and Too Much Rain, and all these songs that we love as much as Beatles songs. This is a pretty monumental moment in time in this man's life to put this together in a volume, you know, at this stage. And that's kind of how I feel about the book. I mean, you open the book. I mean, where's the first volume here? This is A through K. Okay. You open up A through K. Okay. He's got a dedication to his wife and his mom and dad, who feature heavily in this book,
When you read,
he talks about Jim and Mary almost like every other page.
It seems like it.
I mean, they come up. So, and you could tell this is a guy who came from a loving family. No, but like when you open it up, This is as soon as I turned this page and I saw this, I said, this is this guy's final declarative statement. And that was when you opened it up to the blank pages. Okay. The Shakespeare quote, to thine own self be true, and just blank pages. He's like, look, this is who I am. Love it or leave it. This is who I am. That's what he's saying here. And that was like, awesome. I'm like, I'm being true to myself. This is who I am. Love it or leave it. I love it. And I love that, how the book opens with that.
No, it's great. I definitely get that. A couple of tracks that I kind of would have liked to have seen on here. I mean, I would love to have talked about Riding the Vanity Fair. Of course. Mm. I mean, you know, who wouldn't? You know, The Backseat of My Car is another one, and Dear Boy. You know, those two I would have liked to have seen maybe something, you know, on. But those stories have been talked about before. You know, so the Dear Boy, as you know, that story's been talked about before. I just would love to, you know, in this book, just say, hey, look, it wasn't about John. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It was about Linda's ex-husband. Right. You know, exactly. All it was. Just to go on record and say that's what it was about, you know.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, reading the book, I mean, what was your thought as you're reading the book? What was the sense of the book, what the purpose of the book? I mean, what were you getting as
purpose of the book that I got through this from the minute I opened that page to where I am now is that this is a guy who is almost 80, who wants to set the record straight and tell it how it is. And as the little kind of flyer on the back says, told us here, unparalleled candor. That's it, says the book with unparalleled candor, and they're not BSing. He's speaking like those interviews we talked about a few episodes ago. He's saying it like it is, for the final time, because this is going to be the final record, I think, that people are going to go to for when they want to look up a McCartney song, a Beatles song, a very famous Beatles song. A Day in the Life, or a Hard Day's Night. What does the guy who co-wrote it say? You know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when they go read it on a Kindle, you know, and now it's here. And that's the general vibe of the book, is that this is a final declarative statement. And he really spends a lot of his time moving into the past. I mean, so much, as we mentioned, talking about, you know, I mean, all his mom and dad, and his family, and everything that he's done. I mean, Jim and his parents are in almost every other song, it seems like.
Right. No, I agree. But, you know, this candor, you know, I mean, sometimes I just feel it might not all be 100% accurate, but this is the way he remembers it. You know what I mean? For me, I got a sense that this is the story of the journey of a songwriter. I mean, he's telling us, you know, what it is to be a songwriter, how to be a songwriter. I mean, it's almost like this book is almost like a songwriting 101. If you will. I mean, there's a lot of great examples of how an inspiring songwriter can take and draw information from the well, if you will, you know, and just be inspired to write, and then just get all these new ideas, you know, drawing from the past. Like, I mean, drawing from past friendships, you know, broken friendship. I mean, there's just so many different things that you can draw from and put into a song. And this is, you know, what we're reading is, you know, he's telling us, you know, all these stories. Cafe on the Left Bank, you know, a lot of that is the story of him and John
going to Paris in 61.
Right. Yep. You know, so I mean, so much of this is from the past, and it so much. You know, so much. It's really you know, taking of this all in. It's almost like you need to read it a couple times to really fully take it in.
It's one of those you really have to. It's almost like you have to treat it like a Lewison reference book that you keep handy to say, okay, what did he say on this about this? Which is what we do with Lewison. I mean, for the first time. We're hearing Paul talk about his time with Jane Asher with a lot of these songs too.
And that's another, it was a pleasant surprise, was all these pictures with Jane Asher, all of these, you know, references to Jane Asher, you know, whether or not he thought the song was about her or not, it doesn't matter. It's just the fact that he's, you know, feels comfortable enough to talk about her in this book. Now, I don't know if he, you know, contact her and say, hey, look, you know, you're going to be coming up a lot in this book, you know, do you mind
if we talk about our past there, honey? He might have, you know, and he probably did and said, you know, do you mind if we talk about it? Then she probably said, go right ahead, right? You know?
Yeah.
You were going right with what I was going to say. Go.
The photos in this book are second to none. I mean, some we've seen before, some we haven't. You pointed out one that I was just like really blown away by.
I'm looking for it now. Do you have it?
I've got one that I think I don't know if it's from the same trip, but go ahead.
It looks like it is. This is it, man. I absolutely love this photo.
Right. Yes.
I love this photo. It's 69, but we don't know when.
And I think that this looks like it's the same trip.
It does. You know? But if this is a photo that you look at and you look at this man's face and he does not say, I'm sad,
right?
You know, that this great group of mine that I'm in is ending. The pain is written all over his face in this photo. It was haunting. I screenshotted it and I texted it to Tom and David. I said, this is an incredible photo. So to Tom's point, that we've seen a decent amount of these photos before, but some of them are like, now remember the one I sent you the other night of the early Quarry Bank photo?
Yes.
Saw it. We've never seen that one.
And then here's a couple with Jane. This is for, and I love her. You know, hopefully that will do you some justice, but again, I mean, you're just seeing things that you hadn't seen before. You know, another picture with Paul and Jane there, you know, just hanging out, you know, maybe at an auditorium or something like that. They're at the theater. They're at the theater. You know, so just tons of pictures.
Now, but before we jump ahead a little bit more, what do you think about him having Paul Muldoon kind of work on this with him and edit it? And where some people are saying that this Paul Muldoon co-wrote it with him. I don't think that's the case. What do you think? What's your take on him having like this guy? You know, apparently the guy's obviously very accomplished, you know.
Right. I mean, I don't know the person enough to really comment on and if there was a motive you know, for him to do or co-write or what. I mean, are all these Paul's memories, or did he help to you know, with the writing, or you know what I mean? I don't know, but go ahead.
I tell you, what I really did appreciate was kind of getting a little historical context into how the book came about, because we didn't really know. Like, and the note to the reader, as I mentioned, that they say basically all these conversations that Paul Muldoon had with Paul did happen mostly in person between the summer of 2015.
Right.
And then a lot of them, and the last few were done over a video conference due to COVID. So, this has been something that has been in the works for the last 7 years, being worked on.
Right. So people don't know Paul Muldoon is a poet. So, I mean, you know, Paul has his poetry book, Blackbird Singing. But I mean, if anybody is going to, you know, to help with this kind of project, you know, a poet would probably be a good thing, you know, out there to help with a project like this, because I do think he probably considers some of this stuff poetry. Paul does,
of course. And you'll know that when you do leaf through the songs, and I did read the Beatle ones, the big Beatle ones like Eleanor Rigby do get more, you know, text. Like Paul does, Paul does write a little bit more about Eleanor Rigby than he does, say, you know,
Band on the Run.
Band on the Run, or Cook of the House, or Getting Closer, you know, obviously, or, you know, so some of those other ones are going to get, you know, a little more time in there. Now you look at this book and the scale of it, you say, oh, 800 pages is, you know, but it's really not. I mean, you haven't read the book yet. The lyrics are on one side and Paul's writing on the writing about the song is on the opposite side with photos. So it's, it is a fairly easy read to go through.
It's not 800 it's not 800 pages of text.
No,
it's 800 pages with maybe, you know, 200 to 300 of them pictures.
And just, I mean, I read the first book in one afternoon. That was including all the Beatles songs. So now if you're going to sit there and read the lyrics, which, listen, anybody, you and I, and just about everybody watching our show doesn't need to read the lyrics. They know them. They can recite them backwards and forwards. So I'm not going to sit there and read, boy, you're going to carry that a long time. No, I'm going to go read what he's in. I'm reading what he's talking about. It. The great picture of Bob up there. Thank you, Lynn.
There you go. Yes. Speaking of Beatles stuff, I mean, what's your take on him, you know, reversing the credits again? Now, you know, is it petty? You know,
This is so tough. This is such a tough tightrope, pun intended there.
Yeah. Tough on a tightrope.
It is. And Joe Mayo said this the other night on your show. He said it the other night on a chat with him. He doesn't mind that Paul put Paul McCartney, John Lennon, say for Can't Buy Me Love, because it was Paul's song predominantly. As long as the album, the official album, says Lennon McCartney, he's okay with that. And I can kind of get on board with that too, because this is Paul's final statement on the matter with these songs. You know, and I got to think, and we don't know, but maybe he contacted the Lennon estate and said, look, do you care for my own book if I do this? And I'm sure Sean said, go right ahead. I don't know that, but I think it's a little petty? Yes, but my sympathy for Paul wins out on this one, and I don't really mind that he did that for the book. The albums are a different story. They should never change.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. How do you feel?
You know, again, I've always come to believe that it was a partner. This was a deal. It was Lennon McCartney. That's how it was supposed to be. I don't mind him telling us what he did with these songs. I think that's great. I want to know exactly if he wrote, I would love to turn you on. I want to know that, you know what I mean? If that was his main contribution, one of his contributions to Dana Life, I want to know that. However, if a song like, you know, Ticket to Ride, which I think he said was like 60-40 or something like that in many years from now, why is he then putting it McCartney Lennon, you know what I mean? So I don't get his thinking on some of these songs, why they need to be reversed. Listen, he shouldn't be worried about his career or his reputation or anything. I mean, that's all clear. I mean, that he's going to go down as the greatest songwriter of all time. I don't think he needs to rotate the credits. No. However, If that's what he wants to do, so be it. Who am I to stop him from doing that? But whatever it is, at the end of the day, it is what it is, and that's how he sees these songs, and so be it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how he sees it, and obviously he was, you know, he did it whether he had permission or he didn't. This is what it is. This is how the book got published.
Right.
I'm okay with it. I really am.
Right. I mean, there's some other little petty things too. I mean, like I was reading one, I should have wrote this down, but I was reading one of them, and he was like going out of his way to describe that he was the literature one. I mean, that, you know, everybody thought that John was the one that liked to read. Well, no, it was really me. I'm the one that liked, you know, I was the big reader, you know, in the
I remember reading that. I remember reading that as well.
You know, so there's some other little bits and pieces that we'll get to as well. So
a twinge of that comes across. It does.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just let, you know, just leave lying dogs lie. You know, there's no reason to, you know, I mean, yes, we now know that he was the avant-garde one. You know, we know that now. We know that he was the experience. You know, he liked to do all these experiments, you know, with the tape loops and stuff like that. We know now. You know, so I don't know why he has to keep on climbing that tree. You know, but anyways, what were some of the standout stuff for you
in the book?
Song wise.
Oh, just going through, I'm going to keep it here just as a little cheat sheet here, just to show where I got up to. Just before I go into some of the specific songs, kind of hearing some of the songs, especially the solo ones, they always kind of the story behind the song opened up with a Beatle reference to the solo song. And that was a little frustrating. Like, you know what I'm talking about, Tom, right? You'd go into a section on, I think it was what, Give On Back to the Irish or something like that, or one of those songs, and he's talking about the Beatles. Right. Well, how do I follow this? And he was going through this whole, well, how do I follow? Like, just tell me about the song.
Right. He would go into some story. Okay, for example, Arrow Through Me. I don't understand why he ended up choosing that to tell the Linda joining the band story.
That doesn't jive.
I mean, so you get like four paragraphs of that story. And then also the pictures are all from like the like 73 tour. I mean, it's Arrow Through Me from 79. Put something from the 79 tour, in that section. Yeah, I don't understand why it was all early stuff, you know?
Yeah, I really enjoyed, I mean, even though we knew the story, I really enjoyed reading about Confidant. Because that was a pretty detailed story about that one. And that one, he wrote about that one on for, you know, a few pages. Right. So Confidant was an early highlight for me for that book, and reading about how the guitar was always under the cupboard in his parents' house. And that's how it was. And I really enjoyed the story about Confidant. And again, just such great photos that go with it. My God.
Yes. That's a great picture. Absolutely. Love it.
Oh, Confidant was an early highlight. I mean, they've all been great. It's like you said, you just said before, Tom, it's going to require several readings to like really take it all in. Do It Now, I thought was funny because he was talking about how him and his brother had to pick up horse crap in the street, because that was another one of his father Jim's sayings, which he's had so many of those. Put It There, Do It Now.
Yep.
So Do It Now, which is one I kind of like that a lot off of Egypt Station. Tom doesn't much, but it was actually just his slang for go up and down the street, kids, and go pick up the horse crap, which I thought was so, I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah. There's a bunch here, really. You know,
you liked Dear Friend quite a bit, didn't you?
I did. Before we get to there, though, it was Band on the Run was just really funny, because here's the song that's been talked about, you know, on and on and on again. And there was just like, what, three paragraphs?
That's it. Band on the Run.
Three paragraphs. That's it.
Nothing. Sailor Sam.
Right.
He talked about meeting the chief down in Lagos when he met the chief. But nothing about how the song was constructed or how it was done with Denny or how it was produced or how it was even orchestrated. Which was done by Tony Visconti. That was the name when I almost went out of my head. Like the production of Band on the Run or the style or how it is very similar to his stuff on Abbey Road. There's none of that. There's none of that in there with Band on the Run. But, you know.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Ticket to Ride was interesting because he tells the story of the ride is actually ride from the Isle of Wight. And I think he had relatives that worked in a bar there, and then him and John would, you know, travel there. So the Ticket to Ride, he goes, to be honest with you, the ride is, you know, ride from the Isle of Wight. I thought that was
I didn't get up to the TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I went there because Joe was talking about how that one is reversed. It's McCartney. He's got it McCartney Lennon on there. And then, you know, Lennon, I think, said in, I think it was either the Playboy interview or the Rolling Stone, where the only thing McCartney contributed to was how Ringo was, you know, tell Ringo how to play the drums.
How to do the drums. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This was really interesting. Doing Cafe on the Left Bank.
Yeah.
Where he says Paul considers the Jimmy Joe English era the classic Wings lineup. Era.
Yeah, he did lineup. Say that, didn't he?
I mean, there's like little things like that. Like, I'm really shocked that he would say stuff like that. He says the story has the roots in the Paris hitchhike. You know, I like how he breaks down lyrics in the Calico Sky. You know, something, you know, the third verse is something, you know, that Pete Seeger or Dylan would do in a protest song. You know, I thought that was coming cool. Now, Come and Get It was another interesting one too, because
we kind of knew that story.
Right, but I think in the Abbey Road book, they talked about how it took him an hour to do that. Here, he's talking about it only took him 15 to 20 minutes to do
quarter,
that.
Yeah, he says, I could do this in a quarter of an hour.
Right.
I think it was probably, that's where the memory is a little faded. Right, I think it probably was an hour. He didn't whip that all up in 15 minutes and then go, here you go, Pete Hammond, Drake, here you go.
Exactly.
I think, you know.
And he talks about how they did, you know, Badfinger wanted to put their spin on it, but he was like, no.
You have to do it. That's been accepted history for a long, long time. Right. And they didn't want to do that. And then he did. Another early highlight for me in the first volume was him talking about the song Goodbye that he wrote for Mary Hopkin and the relationship that he had with her and how he worked with her and about his songwriting style and how he says, even today, over 50 years later, there's interest in this lyric, and I don't think I've ever done it before or since, is the use of the same word over and over in each line. So please don't wait for me until late. Tomorrow comes and I will not be late. He doesn't think he's never done that before in any lyric. So I thought that little section on Goodbye and working with Mary Hopkin, I found very interesting.
Right. Country Dreamer, I like the very first sentence on here, simplicity. That's the one word description of my philosophy. I kind of dug that because, you know, we talk about the simplicity of his, you know, lyrics a lot of times, or even his music, you know. A Day in the Life, that was one of the ones I did go to right away because of the whole controversy.
Yeah,
the big bullshit article for nothing, you know.
Nothing.
Yeah. You know, Dear Friend, like you said, I mean, I did really enjoy that. I mean, I like how he breaks down the Are You Afraid or Is It True bit from that song, meaning, like, you know, is John afraid that the relationship is breaking up or whatnot? And that's another one where he drops a couple F-bombs too, which, you know, I'm not offended by it, by no means, but kind of surprised though in a way, because you don't really, you know, know him as somebody that, you know, regularly drops F-bombs, you know.
Surprises, Long and Winding Road. I didn't really know he was actually talking about the road leading up to his farmhouse in Scotland with that one.
Oh, okay.
Which he talks about in the Long and Winding Road, like it actually being that the road to his house. And he actually, there's a picture of the road in the book with that song.
Right.
Here.
There you go. Yeah, look at that.
So, you knew that was going to be in here.
Absolutely. Another weird one was Golden Earth Girl. Weird, but it's good. Don't get me wrong.
No substance.
But I just find it weird that he chose that one to tell, like, the kind of like the John, and it was like a nod to John and Yoko, and then he goes in and, you know, off the beaten path and talks about John and Yoko, you know.
And then like left a little bit left to
right.
Yeah. You know, oh, it's really Linda. When I think of this, when I think of Linda, I think of Golden Earth Girl because she was an Earth Girl.
Right, because she's an Earth Girl. Yeah, but that he chose that song to talk about, you know, the John and Yoko story. You know,
right.
Which was, again, weird today. Here Today, another one where, you know, he breaks down that We Were Worlds Apart line. And then he admits that, you know, he was just playing to John's cynical side, but confesses that they weren't really distant. You know what I mean?
No. So, and I do like how he specified The Night We Cried, as he's talking about how they were on tour and they were all drunk up. And,
they got pissed.
And it's just, and he's like, well, if he had lived, I never would have said this to him anyway. So,
right.
Lady Madonna, again, going back to his mom with a lot of that. And I love to see the honesty in some of when he's actually talking about the song and the structure of the song, and a lot of these, when he's breaking these songs down. So let's look at Lady Madonna, for instance. He says,
go for it.
My single favorite aspect of the song is the recurring phrase, "See how they run." It comes from the nursery rhyme, Three Blind Mice, with that rather less than nurturing farmer's wife who cuts off their tails with a carving knife. But I like the fact that he's so definitive and declarative on, this is why I like this song, or this is why it works, because of the "See How They Run" bit. I just things like that. I'm like, wow, he actually is talking about a song,
right?
Like, and about the song, not about, well, it could be about this or it could be about that. Like, structurally, he's talking about, okay, and we're not musicians, but he'll talk about the chord structures and how they go from G to D or D7th or G. You know, he's done a lot of that as well in the book too.
And I think he brings up nursery rhymes a couple times in the book. He brought that up as and I forgot which song it was, but I think he brought up some kind of nursery rhyme analogy in another segment as well.
Now you knew. Listen, if John was alive today and he saw this book and he saw that Maxwell Silver Hammer was in here, he would fly over to England and kick Paul's ass. You're gonna put that song. You're gonna put that song that you had us work on for days and that in your freaking right. bloody book. Come on, man. But I do like that it's in here.
Right.
And he admits that they hated him for working right. him to death on it.
Yeah. And that's great. I mean, I like, you know, like you said, the honesty comes out and that's great. Hi. It was interesting too. I like a comment that he says here says, excuse me. The bottom line here is that sex and drugs are the two staples of rock and roll. More than that, this is a genre that openly recognizes sex and drugs as being fun.
Right. Right. I'm trying to find that one that where they talked about that wacky tobacco. Where was that now? Oh, God, I forget where that was. And then Her Majesty, you know, of course, he was going to be in there. And he's got that great, nice photo with the Queen.
Queen, yep, exactly.
And then, of course, he's like, well, I met her, and she didn't have a lot to say.
Right. You know, another one of those instances where he says something, and you're kind of like, why did he say that? I'm caring. He's defining carrying in different ways, and one of the ways he says is maybe carrying a band with the others riding on my coattails. I was kind of like shocked by that a little bit, because we do know Linda has said, like in the 80s, where you know some of the members of the band's Wings were maybe not have been up to snuff, as performance wise, as like Paul McCartney. But interesting on the fact that it's in there.
Yeah.
Jet was another interesting one. I thought a Jet was the dog was the name of the dog, and then it was the name of the pony.
The pony, so, right. It was actually a pony. Yeah. So that was another urban legend debunked there as well. And they got the photo to prove it.
Yeah, exactly. What else you got?
I thought a really cool one was this one called Ghost of the Past of Left Behind from
Liverpool Oratorio.
And you had a lot of pages dedicated to that to that song, working with Carl Davis and how it came up.
Right.
You know, it was, you know, again, it was all from the Liverpool Oratorio, and I did something I didn't really know because I don't know that piece of work all that well, other than a few of the major themes that are on it.
Right.
But again, reading about working with Carl Davis and, the Liverpool Oratorio, just such a varied career that most people don't even realize. And then you go from that song, and then you go right to Girls' School, which it was, you know, I'm so happy that Girls' School and Mull of Kintyre made it into this book.
Right. The one about the other one that has the nursery rhymes in there is the note you never wrote. And he says, with nursery rhymes, we don't necessarily know what they mean. We don't even really know the theories about what they mean. They're just handed down from generation to generation. They mean this, they mean that. And I think he's talking about his songs too, because people come up to him and say, what's this song about? Well, it means whatever you interpret it any way you want it. You know, it can mean whatever you want it to mean. So I thought that I found that to be pretty interesting as well. And he felt that the note you never wrote was kind of like a Pink Floyd-ish kind of song.
Yeah. I'm very surprised, but that he included Give Ireland Back to the Irish in here, because he's always been very hesitant at his older age to walk back that, because I guess, you know, again, it was supposed to be on Wingspan. It got pulled. But he talks about it here, you know, and how his mom, you know, again, this is a guy with some dear Irish, which I said a few weeks ago on a show, and somebody on YouTube said, he's English 100%. I know he's English, but he's got Irish roots, and he's very, very proud of those Irish roots. And he talks about that quite a lot in this book.
Mm.
He does. The other one too, I was just going past it now, Golden Slumbers, and how he had found the sheet music or the words at his dad's house, and how proud he was that his dad got to hear him do that song.
Mm.
That was
very cool. Yeah. One of your favorite tracks, Once Upon a Long Ago. Yeah, exactly. He was talking about the artist, William D. Kooning, and about, you know, he saw one of his paintings and asked him, you know, what does it mean? And the guy said, well, I don't know. you know, and it kind of like in a way that's he puts like a line in there, you know, tell me, darling, what can it mean, you know, from that experience. And there he is, he's putting it, you know, into song, you know, and I thought that was pretty cool, you know, picking up scales and broken chords, you know, that too is, I think, pretty interesting because he never wanted to learn to read music.
No.
So that pretty much comes from that as well, you know.
What's your take on so like the classics that are always in here, you know, like the stories that we know ad nauseum, Hey Jude and stuff. Did you read? Did you look at them? Did you scan it? Like what do you feel about? I mean, you know, they got to be in here, but like, so but what do you feel? Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's fine that they're in the book. You know, because there's a whole generation of fans out there that haven't heard the stories as many times as we have.
Well, I'm going to tell you, my example. Now, we both felt we went right to the solo songs on purpose. Now, I read the Beatles songs. We know the stories about Hey Jude, but there were aspects of this, which when I'm reading this, I didn't know. So, like, he's talking about, this is Hey Jude. After we mixed it, Mick Jagger heard an early acetate of the recording at the club we were at on Tottenham Court Road. I handed a copy to the DJ when I got there and asked him to sneak it on at some point in the night to see how it went down. After it's played, Mick came over and said, that's something else. It's like two songs. I never knew that. So that's cool. That's something new to a song that has been beaten to a dead horse that I can really appreciate, even though it's such a well-known song.
And it's funny you say that because in the complete Beatles, it's Marianne Faithfull that says someone brought an acetate.
She says in the complete Beatles documentary, we were at a party somewhere. There was an acetate and the song was played. Yeah, well.
So she was probably seeing Jagger at the time. Yeah.
I'm sure she was. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you read this. This was a little bit of an internet kind of thing. When the book came out, I saw people talking about this under the Here Today entry. There's this photo, obviously, of John, but then there's this other photo of the newsstand,
and
people were saying that that's Paul going to buy the paper. I don't think it is. Do you? Mm.
You know, I got to analyze it a little bit more. I mean, we don't know who took the picture. Does it say who took the picture there?
No, it's just it's Leicester Square on the tube station on the 9th of December.
Now, if it was Paul picking up a paper, then that would be something.
See, but it's not, because if there's a photo, there's a photo of Paul from that day working with George Martin and Patty Maloney, and he's wearing like a black blazer, that has like designs on it, and he's not wearing a gray peacoat, and that just does not look like Paul anyway. So
I believe later on in the day he's also got like a leather coat on or whatever. Yes. He does the thumbs up thing, and he says, "Isn't that a drag or something?"
But so I don't. So these are just instances where there's songs that the stories we know so well. But then that case of Hey Jude, I was like, oh, there's a refreshing perspective, which to me is like, we went into this thinking, well, we only want to just focus on the solo stuff. Here's stuff about the Beatles songs. And I'm like, this is actually pretty cool. Like I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to, you know, start getting into the Beatles stuff. I mean, I definitely wanted to get into the more controversial stuff. In the life, you know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, the BS from that article wasn't actually in the book. You know, the songs that he reversed, and put McCartney and Lennon, you know, you definitely want to, you know, see about some of that stuff. But another one too was Pretty Little Head, where, you know, the Hillman bit, you know, and he's talking about
what does he say there?
He said it because, you know, it could have been inspired, that line could have been inspired from like, you know, an ancient civilization, you know, and he refers to, Hillman refers to as a tribesman. And then there's a bunch of like little illustrations from McCartney in that section too, where it just shows like, you know, ancient people and what they look like, and one of those women with the long neck and all the So it's pretty cool too. I mean, I'm really enjoying what I'm reading so far. Hasn't been like one of those like, no, that's not right. Really,
no, now listen, you know? There are people probably a little more in the know than are that say, oh, that's actually wrong. But you know what? This is Paul's official word. And you know what? If it's wrong in here or there a little bit, I'm fine with it. The pros outweigh the cons here. Ken Womack said that in his review of the book on Salon. He said that, you know, there are some cons, but the pros outweigh them. And they really do here. I found the other photo I wanted to show. It's the one. It's the Quarrymen photo with I lost my little girl.
Oh, look at that! That's great.
Look at that photo of him. You got the baby fat still. He does. He does.
Which one do you have? Which one book do you have? There's one more too. I want to show real quick here.
I have A through K. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Let me get to this one. This one was phenomenal. This is Paul and Mike. Looks like it's with Auntie Jen.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
Yes, love this. Love never that photo. Seen this. Never seen this photo.
Never
before.
Saw that photo. You brought this up on Talk More Talk as well too. The fact that the car, Hell on Wheels, is still drivable.
So drivable, right?
Love that. Love the fact that, and he talks about it. And there's a photo of him in it in 2020. And he goes, those suckers were made to last.
And it's still going. That's amazing.
Another little cool thing I learned about in some of these photos in this book is that they're John and Paul's childhood friend, the reason that they both met, Ivan Vaughn. He hung out with him a lot in the 60s. There's photos of Ivan
There's
Vaughn
a couple photos
Paul.
Of There's Ivan. Yeah.
Here's one of Ivan Vaughn and Paul.
Yes, that's the one. Yes.
These are photos that we've never ever seen before. You know, Ivan Vaughn, the accepted recorded history is while he introduced John and Paul, and that was that. You know, the fact is that John and Paul kept relationships with these guys well into the 60s. Here with Ivan Vaughn and also John with Pete Shotton. He stayed very close to Pete Shotton and even opened up a line of supermarkets for Pete to run there for a while in England. So seeing like history like that for the first time is just incredible. Oh, and that was the other thing too. I'm talking about who he always talks about. How many times has he referenced this English teacher in the book?
Quite a few.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, oh, my English teacher, Alan Durbin. My English teacher, Alan Durbin. You know,
and then another song. He talks about if he wasn't a singer, he probably would have been an English teacher.
Right, he would have been. He probably would have been because he got good at it. The other cool things that are in here too. Obviously, the artifacts. There was one. I don't know if you saw it, but there was one showing like a 1966 timeline for the Beatles. Did you see that? What their whole like summer was going to be like? Like a little document like that. Like where does that? He had that. Beatle plans for 1966, the words 1966 spelled out. You know, and it tells you everything we hear, what they're doing. Here, the paperback writer has Paul singing the main verse and John and George joining him on the chorus segments. Okay. Then it says for Rain. Rain is a very simple song featuring John with Paul and George joining on falsetto chorus parts. First of all, Rain is not a very simple song. It's anything but. But it's just cool to see these things in the tour. You've never seen these artifacts anywhere. So it's the lyrics. It's all these great things. It's incredible.
Yeah. And you get the Magical Mystery Tour pie. Who's doing what? You know, the cut up. You know,
right. You do this. You do that. You do that. This, exactly. You do this. Yeah. You do that. Which we've seen. Yeah. Right. Right. But it's great. I mean, the story about it, in spite of all the danger, and how they cut the track. And Kensington, which is a section of Liverpool at Percy Phillips's little home studio, which we knew that story too. They had one acetate, right, of the record, which they all shared because it was a shellac disc. Remember, this is the 1950s, folks, right? So it wasn't vinyl. If you dropped that thing, that sucker was going to break. It was shellac. Right. So they had the 78. They all had it. And then Duff Lowe had the record for 25 years. And then Paul bought it back from him in 81, you know, but they all took turns with it. So again, stories that we've known, but to see him talk about it perfectly now is just incredible.
Right. One other little thing then too, that I'm just remembering, I think it was in the junk chapter where he talks about how, you know, he wasn't going to do any kind of publicity for this. So Peter Brown wrote up this questionnaire. It's like, no, I think you had Peter Brown write up a questionnaire.
No, yeah. You're right, Tom. You're right.
Yeah. You know, so he's making it sound like it wasn't his idea when it really,
but it was.
It really was. Yeah.
But it absolutely was. So again, no revisionism there, Paul. another little cool flyer that I've never saw. I don't know if you did either. Was this little advert for Junior's Farm? Did you see that?
I have seen that before. Yes.
I had never seen that until this book. Yeah. That was incredible. The lyrics of the whole song in a cartoon format. That was awesome.
Right.
Incredible.
Yep.
And that was then there's junk right after it. So it's for $60 to get this, that's a steal.
Oh, absolutely. That's a bargain of the century. It's really, you know, well done book. I mean, even though mine is warping a little bit, I'm still, you know, I'm not going to take it back or anything like that. You know, I'm still very happy that I've got it. And, you know,
my final thoughts are, this is my go-to. This is my anthology. This is my Mark Lewis. And this is my go-to book that I'm going to just reach for once or twice a week to look up something that I want to look up. Right. You know, this will be something that a keepsake. I mean, I could get rid of 50 of my other Paul McCartney books. And as long as I have this now, I'm happy. I'm happy because the man finally put, you know, it wasn't like the poet, like the lyrics book where he just, right, the other book, the Blackbird Singing, where
Blackbird Singing, right.
He has finally set the record, you know, to some degrees of success and others not, but he's gone into, you know, on 154 songs that he has, you know, written and cared about. And it wasn't just Beatles songs. We got solo songs, which for a Paul McCartney solo podcast has checks our boxes, and we're happy.
Yes. Yes. Very happy.
So we're happy. This is going to get two Maca thumbs ups in the Maca style.
Two legs up. Yeah, absolutely.
Two legs up. I can't do that. I'll die. And listen, I can't wait to get the British copy.
Right. If you have any doubts out there, to pick this up, I definitely say go ahead, pick this up. I think there's going to be something in there that for everyone to enjoy. If you're a McCartney, I mean, I don't even know if you need to be a diehard fan. You could be a casual fan and enjoy this book as well.
This could be a casual. It's priced for the casual fan, but it checks enough boxes for the hardcore fan as well.
Right.
$60.
Yep, I agree.
It's not bad.
No, not at all.
And
I don't know, $60, but
I don't know. And don't get the Kindle version of this either. Don't do that. You can't. You can't get a Kindle
version. It's got to go on the shelf.
I can put this right next to the archive set, which actually it feels like an archive set, doesn't it?
It's almost like the Wings Over America archive set there.
A little bit. Know? We should stack them all up and see how heavy they are. Who can lift them enough times? little two legs athletic competition.
There you go.
Archive style.
Archive style. I love it. Yeah, I'm definitely all in on this book, enjoying what I'm reading so far. Very pleased. Still going. I mean, obviously, I got to go back and get to the Beatles stuff now. But yeah, I definitely gravitated towards the solo stuff first, you know, as being a solo podcast here. But very enjoyable book so far. Now, here's the thing. Now, let's see once we get that McCartney Legacy book, you know, see if there's anything that, you know, kind of contradicts anything, you know.
Paging Alan Cozen. Alan Cozen, right, sitting there going, that's wrong.
Yeah,
That's wrong. That's right.
We shall see, my friend. We shall see.
We shall. Hey, you want to pick that winner?
Here we go. Like I said, 28 people.
This is like the Price is Right. Come on down.
Should I put it in the Kiss hat and take it out? Here, I'm gonna put it all in the Kiss hat.
No, what you need is you need one of them tumblers like in Vegas.
Right, exactly. Like the bingo wing or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm mixing it up really good. Someone's gonna be a big Kiss fan after this. Well, again, hopefully it's a name I can read.
If you can't, you know, hold it up, and I'll help you out.
Okay, here we go. So I'm not looking. I'm just going to pick one out. I have one in my hand. Here is...
Do you want to look at it, or do you want to put it up on the screen?
No, I'm just going to put it up on the screen. Well, I'll look at it.
All right.
I'm going to look at it. Here we go. Yes, of course.
Hold it up.
There is Carlos Contreras.
Carlos Contreras.
Yes,
you are the winner.
Congratulations.
Winner, Carlos. Chicken dinner, Carlos.
Exactly. Way to go, my friend. I will be emailing you and letting you know that you are the winner. Congratulations. Congratulations, my friend. So, so I'm going to hold this right here. And, that puts a wrap on this one. Anything else, you have final thoughts you want to...
Something that I have to say that I was not really, my expectations for this book for the last year were very, very low. I just was like, okay, a lyric book, it's whatever. It's not going to be anything great. maybe it'll be something worthwhile. And it's been, it has exceeded my expectations because I really was not into it. I was like, oh, it's coming out in a year, whatever. Right. Like I didn't know he was going to go into as much detail as he did on the songs it wasn't like he chose 10 solo songs, you know,
exactly.
He went pretty deep and that's more than enough for me. And I know it is for you too.
Yes, absolutely. So very happy. Thank you, everybody. We just finished our 101 favorite Macca song countdown. We had some friends, some colleagues, and some fans that joined us with us, and we want to thank you all for participating in that. Everybody that participate, we really appreciate it. I love seeing your lists. We just passed the 800 subscribers on YouTube, so thank you for that. We're closely inching to our goal, which is 1,000, obviously. Yep, we're getting there. Hopefully early
getting
next
closer,
year.
Baby. We're getting closer. In.
Yes. And he does talk about Salamander too.
Yes, he does.
Yes. So there you go. You can reach us at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. Emails at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. There's the website, twolegspodcast.com, where you can just see all of our Twitter posts. You can see you can get connected to the YouTube from there as well. That's where our videos are. So there's so many different ways that you can find us. Andy's got us on all the audio platforms, which Andy, thank you for doing that. You know, we're everywhere. Wherever you can listen to a podcast, we're there. So we're getting more and more listens, and we really appreciate all the people that are, you know, that are discovering the show. Please let us know what you think. And we'll get back to you. So, Andy, always good hanging out with you, buddy.
Loved it, partner. Thank you very much for this one. And we'll be back again.
Yes. So here we go. McCartney Lyrics Book. Get it. Right?
Go get it.
Right. Don't be a square. Don't be an L7.
Don't be an L7.
Right.
Get this book. Now all hear right. This book of mine.
Next year, I'm not next year, I'm sorry. Next week, we've got LJ coming back to the show. And he's talking about the 79 UK tour. You do not want to miss that. A lot of fun stories there from LJ. So as always, everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.